This is Mark Mullinax, and I welcome you back to Power for the Peaceful, a podcast and class on Taoism. Today, verse 37, the root of action.
When you listen to the ground and you put your roots down, you can hear what she says if you're listening. When you listen to the ground and you put your roots down, you can hear what she says if you're listening. The sweet sound of the river as she moves over the stones. The same song that the blood in your body sings as it weaves around your bones. When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
Not doing is the opposite of inaction, because when acting without effort, each job does itself in its own time. The ancients ruled the world by doing nothing. This is the virtue of heaven. Heaven moves without moving. Chong Tzu.
Welcome back, you folks rooted in Tao, seekers of original peace that you are. Today's reader is Michelle Miller, who describes herself, her life, and passions in the next few sentences.
Michelle Miller. I'm an author and screenwriter, originally from Asheville. I just moved back from London. What resonates with me about the Tao is the way that it becomes a tool for internal exploration. I think I spent a lot of my time being curious about external experiences, and lately have been really fascinated about experiencing what it means to be in my own mind. And the Tao has been very powerful in helping me navigate that journey.
I hope you find in today's episode something that will not just stir you to your roots, but root you deeper still. Because today we look at how and where everything in Taoism is rooted. That said, it is better to be rooted than to be anchored. More on that later. Meanwhile, Michelle, please read our verse for today.
Verse 37, Natural Action. Tao does not use action to accomplish. It is the ground of action itself. Nothing is halfway accomplished. Only after leaders finally accept this principle does the world turn around to its natural state. Of course, old habits of acting busy die hard, but perish they do when exposed to the unnameable and its simplicity. Dedication to this simplicity loosens old habits. Without the turbulence of these old desires, original stillness reigns. Peace just settles in naturally.
With this verse, it is wise to hear other phrasings of this verse's first couple of lines from other translators. I want to arrange this net of meaning, a verbal net with which we might catch the deepest and widest possible interpretations of this verse 37. So here are several renditions of verse 37's first lines.
The Tao never does anything, yet through it all things are done. Stephen Mitchell.
Tao abides in non-action, yet nothing is left undone. Gui Fu Fong.
The Tao never acts with force, yet there is nothing that it cannot do. J.M. MacDonald.
Only see you're doing nothing, yet not a thing is left undone, for all things happen on their own, in you who are the all in one. Jim Klatfelter.
Tao never does anything, but nothing is left undone. Ron Hogan.
The Tao is constant in non-action, yet there is nothing it does not do. Derek Lin.
The Tao eternally non-acts, and so it does nothing, and yet there is nothing left to do. If Prince or Peace could keep it, all would change. Isaac Winter Hasinger.
Tao does not use action to accomplish, runs my own translation. It is the ground of action itself. Nothing is halfway accomplished. Okay, I hope you enjoyed these additional translations or phrasings of verse 37's first couple of lines. Finally, here is Ursula K. Le Guin's translation. The way never does anything, and everything gets done. Her footnote to her own words is an apt summary for these 9 renditions.
Here are the themes of not doing and not wanting. This unnamed and the unshapen recur together in one pure legato. It is wonderful how by negatives and privatives, Lao Tzu gives us a sense of serene fullness of being. Ursula K. Le Guin.
What's immediately emerging for me is that Tao and ego are antithetical. Now, Tao can use ego as an instrument to accomplish any purpose, but ego does not play well with Tao. Ego, defined simply, is all concerned with action. Action to expand the self beyond the self's ability to even maintain itself. Ego has no patience with things like non-action. Ego likes to blow up the soul like a balloon to get noticed. But Tao and its processes are not invested in getting noticed. Tao does not do or force or act. It is the ego that forces, does, and acts for reasons as fleeting as, well, a blown up balloon. It either soon pops or slowly loses its artificial and very temporary pressure. A limp balloon is useless and even dangerous among young kids. So verse 37 has become famous and noteworthy for its mind-bending notion of how, quote, the Tao does nothing yet leaves nothing undone, unquote. Non-action and performing an action are two entirely different processes. This mind-bender of a notion invites our contemplation. Because one of the key themes of Tao Te Ching is that we come into, or merge into, alignment with the natural flow of life. And Lao Tzu frequently urges us to observe and to emulate the natural world. Why? Because this is how we are made. By doing nothing from artificial ego and allowing what already was, already is, and what always will be to emerge and to be, every necessary thing will get done. Remember how bodies are microcosms of Tao's actions? We do nothing consciously, but lungs still breathe, hearts still beat, hormones still flow, digestion happens, all without ego. However, non-doing does not mean to lie around in some whatever kind of attitude. Non-doing means something different here. It means to live within the understanding of Tao as the way the universe originated and still operates. When non-doing, when desire, thinking, scheming, and other such doing are quietened, one lives aligned quite naturally and most logically with Tao's processes and wisdom. One does not fight against, well, the way or Tao of the universe's operations and processes. That's a great life, don't you think? Not fighting. On the other hand, doing in this sense means controlling, manipulating, busily thinking and rearranging people and circumstances like chairs on the Titanic. Doing equals futility. Doing leads only to more suffering. It's like non-doing is living naturally into what is. But doing is preparing for and living unnaturally into what can never be. The natural is both our ancient heritage and birthright and future. The unnatural is the present day's ego mind seeking to bend and manipulate what never has been and never can be into some short-lived tool for a temporary fix, like a fix of drugs. If Marx said religion is the opiate of the people, then in Taoism, ego is the opiate of the strung-out person who smokes his own supply and when he runs out, feels empty, lost, and desolate. Take notice of the world around you. See how sky, water, trees, and flowers do not seek to control or to manipulate. They do not do anything, and yet nothing is left undone. Nature has no intention or desires like ours. It isn't set out to do anything. And yet nature enables all necessary things to happen. Birth and death, growth and diminishing, expansion and contraction, all processes unfold of their own accord, because these very processes are the root intelligence of Tao. There's no need to strive anymore to make life somehow conform to how we think life should be. Relax by letting go and trusting that the processes that got us here will maintain us today and every day. Life then becomes simpler, less stressful, and we realize how everything is actually perfect as it is, without us having to do anything to somehow correct or to assist Tao. The moment we give up the desire for things to be different than they are, that is, to give up the illusion that we have to continually do in order somehow to prop up the entire universe, once that's gone, there is peace. And peace, like war, is also waged. Wars are waged from a do-something attitude. Peace is waged by a withdrawing, not doing, not thinking, a not desiring attitude.
Who am I to blow against the wind? Paul Simon from his song, I Know What I Know.
When there is no desire, peace emerges. It's always been there, waiting patiently for our rediscovery of our already inborn peace. Phrased another way, acceptance of one's original nature and peace is one's ticket to freedom, a ticket one is born with. The implication here is vast, though. If we stop trying to change the world with our artificially intelligent egos, the entire world will start to settle down into its original nature, its original birthright of peace. When our desires are curbed with no unnatural intents or actions, then one's entire universe settles down of its own accord, settles down into its own nature. Picture a clear bottle of water, and then add some dirt or soil, and then shake and swirl it all around. That is the very picture of ego driving things. Now, let that bottle of swirling, dirty water settle by itself into calm quietness. You may call this quiet mindfulness or even meditation. The dirt settles down to its rightful place at the bottom of the bottle, and clear water naturally reappears, all without action. It's just pure inaction. Giving no energy to selfish desires enables your world to settle into its natural, original place of peace and natural peace of place. I mean it like this. Would you rather live out your life out of the swirl of chaos, or would you prefer the cleared mind, one stilled by stillness and quiet as a life partner? That's what this verse means. Tao does not need action, desire, or chaos to accomplish. Tao is the ground of action itself. Nothing is halfway accomplished. The word for desire in Chinese, yu, Lao Tzu used in 15 of the 81 verses of Tao Te Ching. So far, we've seen it in verses 1, 3, 15, 19, 29, 34, and 36. The Chinese word yu does not describe sexual desires alone, but describes any kind of longings, wants, hankerings, and wishes. Yu in Chinese implies though desires get caused by a perceived lacking in oneself, or the state you're in when ego is in control. Yu's character in Chinese actually has this huge mouth within it, perhaps an apt symbol of desire itself, whether that mouth is ingesting, drinking, shouting, arguing, or just mouthing off. Now, Lao Tzu doesn't really ban you or desire, perhaps like the Buddha, but he is as clear as the Buddha about the benefit of being free of it. Rest assured in Lao Tzu's promise, those who follow Tao will find a way to dissolve the powers of desire and the peace that has always been there emerges like the adult within the child emerges and then merges with the child. No battles, no fanfares, no advertising, just a process of Tao that we can trust our roots in Tao to take us where we need to go today, tomorrow, and everywhere we go. Desires are those interferences with natural processes, this verse teaches. When we interfere with the natural chain of events, we insert our own will for Tao's ancient processes to change them into more personally profitable outcomes, which disturbs the order of all. It has no chance of succeeding, but it can cause a lot of damage before its failure. And yet, unwisely, we try anyway. Of course, we all want to make the most of life. However, if that means opposing the natural cause of all things, then we will make a lot of noise and cause a lot of trouble, for in the end, we will find that we accomplished nothing durable. You might as well desire to have that river near you run uphill. We can do better to accept things as they are and find our good birthright place inside these patterns of Tao. There, inside Tao, is a good place that everyone can find. Only by joining with the harmony are we ever likely to find that place.
When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening? When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
Verse 37 also contains a word that some of you readers of the Tao of Pooh will recognize. The Tao of Pooh is Benjamin Hoff's delightful introduction to Taoism through the characters of Winnie the Pooh. In Hoff's book, Winnie the Pooh gets very interested when the sound of his name, Pooh, is the very same sound of an important Chinese word here, Pooh, P-U. Pooh in Chinese means simplicity. Simplicity itself, one's natural state. Hoff's book treats Pooh like this.
The essence of the principle of the uncarved block is that things in their original simplicity contain their own natural power, power that is easily spoiled and lost when that simplicity is changed. For the written character Pooh, the typical Chinese dictionary will give a definition of natural, simple, plain, honest. Pooh is composed of two separate characters combined. The first, the radical or root meaning one, is that for tree or wood. The second, the phonetic or sound giving one, is the character for dense growth or thicket. So for tree in thicket or wood not cut comes the meaning of things in their natural state. What is generally represented in English versions of Taoist writings as the uncarved block. Benjamin Hoff, The Tao of Pooh.
Pooh literally means an uncarved block of wood, unadorned by carvings, shellacking, or anything that is not native or unnatural to that block of wood. Pristine simplicity. So my translation, the last word in the following line, simplicity, is Pooh.
Of course, old habits of acting busy die hard, but perish they do when exposed to the unnameable and its simplicity.
Pooh is the unembroidered simplicity of not being affected by any unnatural force, which is what Tao is all about. That is, living only within Tao's energy and processes. Things arising only from utter simplicity is the only action Tao needs. As we know, when we get colonized by desires or other unnatural forces, things can get really complicated, unnecessarily complicated. Uncarved wood, wood that lacks even a name, is therefore named here as similar to Tao, in the sense of being descriptionless. Pooh is therefore our goal, but is a goal already given us. Just like a block of wood on your path in the woods, we too can regain pure simplicity. There's an original simplicity that frees all things of desire just by having all things and desires stilled, calmed, quietened, absent that swirl of private, mindless, colonizing, and ever unnatural desires. Then we're more in touch with the natural flow of all things, working only with one's desireless awareness of what is. So again, Tao needs not act, yet all is done. Were we, or were rulers to abide by this principle, we follow Tao instead of fight it. Things just happen, emerge, or move on as they should. And one more time, getting rid of the fighting and acting from ego, this enables something prior, more ancient, and oh so deeply rooted to emerge. Original peace, original justice, original harmony. These are always there, awaiting our return to them. There's a philosophical reason for this, which I'll treat after the break.
When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening? When you're listening, when you're listening, are you listening?
I entitled this episode The Root of Action. This implies a conceptual philosophy. Basically, roots are not fruits.
Tao does not use action to accomplish. It is the ground of action itself.
That is, the way things operate, or Tao, is rooted in something other than action. Usually hidden and subtle, roots yield something different than themselves. I'm reminded of my favorite Christian theologian, Paul Tillich, who taught that God is not being, not even being itself. Rather, God is the ground or the root of being itself. This concept transfers well to Taoism. From unseen roots, Tao's accomplishments emerge. Non-action roots Tao's accomplishments, wherever and however they emerge. And of course, this is not an easy concept, but this class in Taoism is designed to train one to conceive of everything differently. How can we apply this? Perhaps from this verse, we can learn to stop striving to make life conform to the preset images we maintain of how it should be. When we instead relax and trust life to be what it is, we find that things invariably take care of themselves anyway, without our interference. Life becomes simpler, less stressful, and we realize that everything is actually okay as it is, without us having to do everything. Without us having to do anything. Less stress, fewer heart attacks, strokes, fewer hypertension disorders. We do nothing, but life works through and around us, leaving nothing undone, just like your body has done with your meal from last night. What we often find is the moment we give up the desire for things to be more or different or better, and the illusion that we have to continually do in order to somehow prop up the entire universe, we fall into a very natural, spontaneous sense of peace. And now a personal note. I realize that with all the violence and turmoil in today's world, you may call this verse and me unrealistic. How does one stay calm and peaceful when bombs fall, oppression happens, and lies masquerade as truth? I really don't know, but I'm ready for that conversation. However, I feel that over time, were all the violent actions to cease because the actors either get wise and mature or die off or something similar, then the peace that everyone desires, that's already there in germ and root, that peace then grows, or rather emerges again. This I believe. The particulars, however, elude me.
If we could surrender to Earth's intelligence, we would rise up rooted like trees. Rainer Maria Rilke.
Finally, this root of Tao is natural. What I wish to distinguish in our minds is that Tao as root is not the same thing as an anchor. Many a spiritual path speak about anchors that bind us to safe points or keeps us secure in life's storms. No problem. However, instead of anchors, I want us to remember roots. Anchors are human inventions and can be helpful for their grabbing and clinging ability at times, but they are artificial, artificially shaped hooks to grab hold of one place, however temporarily. We don't come from anchors, though. We emerge from roots. There's a prior, original piece into which we are born. I mean, class, born. We're actually born that way. So why get spiritual rope burn by clinging to anchors when one is already rooted in Tao? Relax. Engage in Tao. Trust the way things are and enjoy your life. Person to person, animal to animal, plant to plant, thing to thing, particle to particle, everything is rooted. It's revolutionary enough today to realize how we are primordially rooted in the same power and processes that has constructed this universe and keeps it going from second to second. Can we become more aware of such roots, roots that ground us? Yes, practice your roots. For more of Tao's ideas of being rooted are coming our way in the very near future. We shall be reminded of roots in the next episode on verse 38.
The person grounded in the depths does not drink from opinions. They stay centered in the root and lets the unrooted take care of itself.
Verse 39 will echo this refrain.
Can you see how greatness is rooted in subtleness and how every lofty thing has its source in the lowly?
And verse 54 will later remind us as we connect te, or virtue, with Tao.
Rooting Tao within yourself produces genuine virtue. Rooting Tao within your family multiplies virtue. Rooting Tao within your community makes for enduring virtue. Rooting Tao within your nation produces prospering virtue. Rooting Tao throughout your world expands virtue everywhere.
Okay, Michelle, let's hear your question.
My question is, to what extent the notion of non-action is meant as being a space for receptivity? Like, is the goal of being in a non-active state to receive some wisdom or to have the experience of receiving something? Or is it really just about, or is it about something different?
I think you're on to what I think is the main interpretation of Wu Wei. Because when you have a blank sheet of paper, you can then write upon it. If you have a blank sheet of paper, you can draw on it. So it's that kind of emptiness. But if you're going around all full of yourself, you know what I mean about being full of yourself, then it's hard for you to become flexible enough to be here now, to listen to people, to actually look them in the eyes and say, I hear you. Because we're always carrying on within our own ears and our own minds this ongoing conversation as me, 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 me. So Wu Wei is a great way to be yourself and yet not be totally full of yourself.
Right.
So what do you think?
I think that's it definitely resonates. I guess something that I'm trying to reconcile is just an experience that I have, like in the artistic process of being really, it's almost like you receive something from a different place. And when I hear you talking, I hear that you're really making even just to listen to someone is to make yourself more receptive to everything that they're saying and to really allow yourself to be receptive to the universe, which I think can be glorious, but also scary.
That's true. But what I'm coming to realize, Michelle, in this podcast is that when we quieten down and not do stuff or have a million things going on at the same time, then we, as this verse says, we settle down into our very nature. Mm-hmm. and that nature has always been there. It's just been forgotten, but it's always been there. It's nothing you have to go out and get saved for. It's nothing you have to go out and purchase. It's already your birthright, right. this silence, this wu-wei. And so this verse, I think, highlights for me how important it is to be silent or not do crap all the time. Why? So then you can then settle into your own primordial, original peace and nature.
So let me ask you a question on that. I think the reason that a lot of people fill their lives with action is sometimes to run away from themselves.
Yeah.
And so what's your advice or guidance for people who fear that stillness for the very fact of having to confront that natural being that they are, that maybe isn't as grand or as perfect or as or just has the darkness that they maybe don't want to believe is in them?
I think a lot of people are trying to run away from themselves. So we engage in all kinds of things to forget ourselves, because that, I think, is our natural tendency. In a good sense, we need to forget ourselves, the ego-driven self. And so as Bruce Springsteen would do on stage, he would just go into these three-hour trances of losing himself, but there was so much that he found.
Yes.
And so we go into these trances, or we go into these wu-wei states, because that's who we are.
Right.
When we want to be someone else, you know, successful here and popular over there and social media savvy over here, instead, let's just be who we naturally are. And that's why the word roots in this verse is so important, because we are rooted in Tao already. We don't have to go out and sow ourselves. We don't have to cast anchors about to get our tethers right, to get ourselves right. We just have to start doing nothing, and then let ourselves remember and become aware of our original rootage, which is Tao.
Right. Can I press you a little bit harder?
Oh, do please.
What if, well, I suppose that I've increasingly been playing with the notion that conflict is necessary in order to create forward progress. You need that polarity in order to create a dynamism. And I think that necessarily seems to lead me to believe that there are some things about yourself that are not nice, or that will create conflict, or that will. And so what happens if your non-action leads you to discover that something within yourself is not peaceful, mm-hmm. or is not, or does create conflict, or even more, if you discover that actually your role is one that would traditionally be considered bad or evil, or that your natural state mm-hmm. is not one of the happy, peaceful, natural states, but something that is naturally turbulent, or is that? Right.
Well, I think that when that happens, your ego wants to keep that hidden.
Right.
And so you've got this psychological angst going on. Right. Will I be discovered? Will I be discovered?
Right.
If you settle in and meditate and get still, what's happening is that you develop this curiosity, right. not an animosity,
right.
a curiosity about what's going on here. Why can't I be honest with this person, maybe?
Right.
Why can't I do this? It becomes this curiosity,
right.
not self-animosity.
Right, right. And then the rough edges come off, and maybe some of the friction that scares me for sure.
Yes.
Kind of dissipates.
Yeah, I think you're right.
In that experience.
Yeah. Good questions.
No, that's really, those are great answers.
you taxed the heck out of me. All right. I thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mark. This has been really fun. I appreciate your patience.
Thank you very much. All right. This podcast is an original labor of love, designed, written, and co-produced by many whose central idea is that Tao Te Ching remains good news for today. Tao still speaks. Thanks to Michelle Miller for her readings and question. Audrey Davis is our artist. Thank you so much. Molly Hartwell sings her song, Put Your Roots Down. Gratitude to you. Fortress Press holds the copyright for any quotations from my Tao Te Ching translation. Thanks to you all for your attendance in this class on Taoism. May your days begin in peace and become the rooting of your radical hope.